my gosh, I'm adopting a puppy right now. But I realize what's at home. Oh no, I have nothing. Well, except unconditional love. But yeah, no crate, no pee-pee pads, no dental chews for his little puppy teeth. Before I doubt myself as a new parent, I just get Instacart to deliver everything from PetSmart. Easy, just like raising a puppy is going to be, right? Get Pet Essentials from PetSmart with Instacart. Visit Instacart.com to get free delivery on your first three orders. Offer valid for a limited time. $10 minimum per order. Additional terms apply.
3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
Hello, America. Welcome. How are you? It is Eric Erickson here across the United States. The phone number is 877-973-7425. If you want to be on the program, delighted to have you with me today. As always, text Eric to 33777. Get the podcast, the live stream, the show notes, and everything else you need out there related to the show. But more importantly, text the word ENGAGE to 33777. Get your tickets for the gathering happening in August. We have an extended an invite to Texas Governor Greg Abbott to come join us in Atlanta, hoping he will be able to make it. So text ENGAGE to 33777. Get your tickets. Come hang out with us. Now, I got to begin with what amounts to the outrage of the day, if you will. There are so many outrages of the day these days, but this one has really rubbed a lot of Republicans and Democrats alike the wrong way, and that is the administration sending out a condolence letter or notice through the State Department for the death of the Iranian president. And what made it worse was that the Senate chaplain, in his prayer yesterday, also prayed for the Iranian people as they mourn the death of their president, which actually isn't a thing. There weren't really a lot of people mourning the death of the president of Iran, including the Iranian leadership. The Iranian leadership decided they didn't actually like the guy because he didn't have a plan to bring down inflation. The economy was not doing well there. He had made all sorts of economic promises that he was given free rein to do and never did. And it turns out he was also behind the scenes quietly talking to the United States, because he actually claims he wanted to avoid some sort of military escalation with the United States, and so had been maintaining this back door. Listen, I know that there's a lot of outrage over sending a condolence note of some kind to the people of Iran on the death of their president because of who he was. I will say this, though. It is pro forma. Even Dwight D. Eisenhower released a statement regarding Joseph Stalin's death. The statement, however, was that, the thoughts of America go out to all the peoples of the USSR, the men and women, the boys and girls of the villages, cities, farms, and factories of their homeland. They are the children of the same God who is the father of all peoples everywhere. And like all peoples, Russians, millions share our longing for a friendly and peaceful world, regardless of the identity of government personalities. Likewise, when Fidel Castro died, the Obama administration lamented the situation in Cuba and said that we were willing to engage in friendship with the Cuban people, leaving out the government. When Pol Pot died, this is the statement from the State Department: the death of Khmer Rouge leader Pol Pot has again brought to international attention one of the most tragic chapters of inhumanity in the 20th century. Between 1975 and 1979, Pol Pot and his Khmer Rouge followers transformed Cambodia into the killing fields. It is time to remember the victims of Pol Pot's murderous regime of terror and to underscore our determination to help the Cambodian people. That was Bill Clinton's response. What I just kind of am baffled by is the administration was maybe a little bit too kind. The statement is described by the New York Times is terse, and they are doing a little bit of damage control. What they said is, quote, as Iran selects a new president, we reaffirm our support for the Iranian people and their struggle for human rights and fundamental freedoms. But concurrent to that, the statement said a little bit more. The United States expresses its official condolences for the death of the president and foreign minister. Now, again, it's a pro forma statement. If we want to be outraged, we can be outraged. And I was a little more outraged, to be honest with you, until I learned that Republicans and Democrats alike, all the way back to the death of Joe Stalin, have been sending these pro forma statements that don't really mourn or praise. The problem here, I suspect, is that this was conflated with the prayer of the chaplain of the United States Senate, who is a retired admiral, who prayed for the people of Iran as they mourn the loss of their leader. They were not mourning the loss of their leader. To be very clear here, they were not mourning. In fact, the Iranian secret police are trying to stamp out celebrations. It is pro forma to offer the official condolences. We did it with Pol Pot, with Fidel Castro, with Joseph Stalin, with other tyrants we've done it for, and they've all been rather pro forma. So there are plenty of things I think to be outraged by. I am more outraged by the Senate chaplain suggesting the people of Iran are mourning the loss of their leader than by the pro forma statement that notes its official condolences and targeting the support for the Iranian people in their struggle for human rights and fundamental freedoms. Knowing that every administration, Republican and Democrat, do these things, it does make it more pro forma. The statement was a pretty pro forma statement. That being said, the Senate chaplain doing what he did was a bridge too far, and frankly, the Senate should probably take issue with that. In fact, Mitch McConnell, the Republican leader, did in fact take issue with the guy. This is Senator McConnell.
Last night, Iran confirmed that its president and foreign minister died in a helicopter crash. The condolences from sympathetic regimes were swift. The PRC declared that the Chinese people had lost a good friend. The Kremlin mourned a reliable partner. And Prime Minister Orban of Hungary, whose government has pursued deeper trade relations with Tehran in spite of Western sanctions, offered his thoughts and prayers. Well, I too would like to extend my condolences to the people of Iran for their long suffering under the brutal theocratic rule of the Islamic Republic. I suspect a great many Iranians would rather Western admirers stop lionizing a man known as the Butcher of Tehran.
Good for Mitch McConnell there. Now, you should also know while all this is happening, the Biden administration is rejecting the International Criminal Court's arrest warrant for Israeli leaders.
Whatever these warrants may imply, there is no equivalence between Israel and Hamas. And it's clear Israel wants to do all it can to ensure civilian protection. But let me be clear. Contrary to allegations against Israel made by the International Court of Justice, what's happening is not genocide. We reject that. We will always stand with Israel and the threats against its security.
Now, here's the State Department spokesman, who is also the one who released the statement on the death of the Iranian leader.
I'm going to start with some comments on the announcement from the prosecutor at the ICC today. As the Secretary said in a statement a short time ago, the United States fundamentally rejects the announcement today from the prosecutor of the International Criminal Court that he is applying for arrest warrants for senior Israeli officials together with warrants for Hamas terrorists. There should be no equivalence between Israel and Hamas. None. Hamas is a brutal terrorist organization that carried out the worst massacre of Jews since the Holocaust and is still holding dozens of innocent people hostage, including Americans. Furthermore, the United States has been clear since well before the current conflict that the ICC has no jurisdiction over this matter. The ICC was established by its state parties as a court of limited jurisdiction. These limits are rooted in principles of complementarity, which do not appear to have been applied here, amid the prosecutor's rush to seek these arrest warrants, rather than allowing the Israeli legal system a full and timely opportunity to proceed.
Yeah, you know, that's one of the things here people miss is the Israeli judicial system works highly competently, including dealing with Israelis who are accused of human rights abuses, and they don't want that to work. George Clooney's wife, Amal Clooney, apparently is one of the people who built the case for the ICC, but there's a problem here. Neither Israel nor the United States nor a lot of other nations even recognize the jurisdiction of the ICC. Netanyahu, in fact, was on television, asked about this, doesn't seem to care all that much.
I'm not concerned at all about our status. I think that the prosecutor should be concerned about his status because he's really turning the ICC into a pariah institution. People are just not going to take it seriously. They see it as a politicized thing. I hope that the judges don't confirm what he says because that will make them into a kangaroo court. Israel is fighting a just war, not only ours, not only our war. We're fighting the war of all democracies because if democracies are now faced with a situation that after taking incredible efforts to get peoples out of harm's way, to supply humanitarian aid on a vast scale, if they're told then they're hauled into the dock because the terrorists who are fighting them are using civilians as human shields, then others will do every democracy will be pulled into the dock. We're first, you're next.
The big question.
And many people understand that. So that has to be stopped and that has to be resisted. And I can assure you, the vast majority of Israelis and all responsible leaders in the world understand that this should be resisted.
Good for Netanyahu. You know, I got to thank the International Criminal Court. I got to thank the prosecutor. I got to thank Amal Clooney. They've provided something that is rare to see these days, bipartisan unity in Washington, D.C. Democrats and Republicans alike, from the White House to Congress, denouncing this. And honestly, it puts Joe Biden back in an interesting position with the left. I want to go back to Biden's statement and what he said. It's important. Listen to this real quick because it has ruffled the feathers of all the people Biden's been trying to coddle these last few weeks.
And let me be clear. We reject the ICC's application for arrest warrants against Israeli leaders.
It's not it. Just wait.
Whatever these warrants may imply, there is no equivalence between Israel and Hamas. And it's clear Israel wants to do all it can to ensure civilian protection. But let me be clear. Contrary to allegations against
Here it
Israel
is.
Made by the International Court of Justice, what's happening is not genocide.
It's not genocide. It's not genocide. Well, the left-wing talking points of the day say it is. So by Biden defending Israel, which he should do, he's now re-angered all the people for the last several weeks he's tried to placate. They feel like he's been playing them for politics, which I've told you all along he was doing. This whole situation, had it been handled more competently, he wouldn't keep walking into this sort of stuff. But this is what's going on here. For weeks, Biden says, I take you seriously. We're concerned about Rafah. We're concerned about Gaza. We're concerned about what Israel's doing, blah, 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 blah. And after the ICC, all the Democrats circle the wagons around Israel, say this is unacceptable. This is a kangaroo court. They nor we will adhere to this. And Biden says, and it's not genocide. Wait, for weeks you've led people believe you thought it might be. Now you're saying it's not. Now all the people you placated, they're angered with you again. The incompetence of this administration, and by the way, I should note, had the United States forcefully put its foot down, the ICC would not have done what it did. Instead, we were distracted sending condolence letters to Iran.
When the world seems crazy, he'll keep you sane. It's the Eric Erickson Show.
Join Eric's army of activists. Text ARMY to 33777 now.
Welcome. It is Eric Erickson. We have some news here. The phone number 877-973-7425. The Trump team, they've rested. The prosecutors have rested. Comes now the closing arguments in the case. They're going to be scheduled for next week because of the way the court was scheduled this week. They'll do it after next week. This is Eli Honig at CNN.
I know that this moment, it was something that had already come up, that basically this group that he paid to do this, rig this online poll, Trump didn't get as high as he wanted. He already had noted that he didn't pay the company fully what he got paid back. But it was the framing of how Todd Blanche questioned him today that made the difference.
When it first came up, the way that Michael Cohen explained it was so wishy-washy and mealy-mouthed that it was almost imperceptible. He said something like, well, I didn't pay the full amount back because I didn't think Trump deserved it. Huh? Today, Todd Blanche made clear, you stole. And here's why this matters an enormous amount. This isn't just Michael Cohen stealing from the Trump org. This is Michael Cohen stealing in the course of the $420,000 payment that is the heart of the crime. And the prosecution's case is, and they've said variations of this over and over, Donald Trump knew exactly what that $420,000 was for. He knew that it was for Stormy Daniels. He knew every penny. He knew every paperclip. No, he didn't, because he was getting robbed on that $420,000. Here's the other thing that is indefensible for the prosecution. Their theory now is Donald Trump committed either a misdemeanor or a Class E felony, the lowest felony. It goes from A to E. And while he was committing either that misdemeanor or Class E felony, he was the victim of a Class C felony, larceny, committed by our star witness, the prosecution's star witness, who we gave a free pass to. Whatever the outcome of this case is, it still may well result in conviction. That's an outrage. That is not just.
Yes. And that is the point here, too. And that's a heck of a closing argument if you're a lawyer. They chose not to prosecute someone who engaged in theft from the business to go after someone who they're accusing of documentary fraud, claiming he knew where his money was going. And yet it turns out he didn't know where his money was going because his lawyer was stealing from him. A fair jury would be hard-pressed to convict, given that circumstance. The prosecution undermined their own case. And in fact, it's why when you go over to MSNBC, you know what they were talking about yesterday? Not this case. And this morning, they had one guy on to defend the case, saying Donald Trump's so terrible, of course they should convict him. And they moved on pretty quickly because he gets to what Eliane was talking about here. You got a Class C felony, and that's the one you chose not to prosecute. So you go after a Class E felony, which is the least possible felony charge. Just remarkable bungling of the case by the prosecutors. No wonder crime is what it is in New York. I got to tell you about Old Glory Bank, my bank. Old Glory Bank would love to have your business. They're for conservatives by conservatives. Old Glory Bank is also extremely innovative. For example, with Old Glory Bank, you can deposit cash. At most online banks, you can do mobile check deposits with the app, but you can't do cash deposits. With Old Glory Bank, you can, and I've used it several times, and it works fantastically. It generates a QR code. You go to one of 88,000 retail locations around the country, give them your cash. They scan the QR code, and there it goes in your bank. It's a great idea. It's a great bank. Their app is great. Their ability to turn on and off your card is great. You can do mortgages with them, loans with them. They are a great bank, and you get no-fee checking and no-fee savings. And they're not going to cancel your account because you're a conservative, because they are from conservatives, by conservatives, for conservatives. OldGloryBank.com. OldGloryBank.com. In less than 8 minutes, you can get an account. OldGloryBank.com. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Terms and conditions apply.
He's got the courage to tell you the truth, even when it isn't popular. You're listening to The Eric Erickson Show.
Hello and welcome. It is Eric Erickson here. The phone number is 877-973-7425. I understand sometimes those of us on the right, we feel a little helpless. Cultural institutions aligned against us, the media out to get us. You know, one of my favorite bits of paranoid belief from the left is that somehow the media is actually more favorable to the right than the left. There are people on the left who are dogmatically convinced that somehow or another the media is actually on the right, and the left just can't get a fair shake at it. They, and by the way, they really do believe it. We need to talk about Sam Alito, because Sam Alito is accused of outsider trading. You're probably wondering what outsider trading is. Well, you know what insider trading is? Insider trading is when you have inside knowledge that the public does not know, and you buy or sell a stock with that inside knowledge, and you have an advantage over everyone else. Now, this gets back to one of the fundamental propositions of the American free enterprise system. As much as it's not as free as it could be these days, and you got crony capitalism and the like, Calvin Coolidge, going back to the 1920s, Calvin Coolidge, the best president, said that the role of government was to ensure a level playing field. And one of the things that the Securities and Exchange Commission does is ensure a level playing field in buying and selling stock, in that someone who has advanced insider information is not allowed to profit off that information without penalty. It is insider information. So, for example, Warren Buffett has since last year, from the beginning of this year, Warren Buffett has repeatedly refused to release all of the financial information related to his company, Berkshire Hathaway, and has asked the Securities and Exchange Commission several times to permit them to keep information confidential while deals were being worked on. And so the Securities and Exchange Commission agreed, and Berkshire Hathaway did not have to disclose anything other than it had a curious statement in its financials that revenue and income would be altered based on investments being made in the financial and or insurance industries. And so people gathered that Warren Buffett was doing a deal in the financial and or insurance industries, but they didn't know what. Behind the scenes, Warren Buffett and Berkshire Hathaway were buying a massive amount of stock in the insurance company Chubb. They were buying an ownership interest in Chubb. Had someone from Berkshire Hathaway or Chubb on the side gone out and started buying and taking advantage of that information financially outside of Berkshire Hathaway, that would have been insider trading. They would have known, oh, Warren Buffett is making a huge investment in this company. When the word comes out, the stock's going to skyrocket. I'm going to go out and buy all this stuff up. And nobody knows. Would have been insider trading. That's illegal. Benefiting from inside knowledge that no one else has. So what is outsider trading? That's what Sam Alito is accused of doing. Outside trading. Outside trading is you invest. What you do, what I do. When you and I hear that the McRib is coming back, we've seen the ads, we rush out, we buy McDonald's stock. Well, that's outsider trading. We don't have any inside secret knowledge. We have the knowledge everyone else has. You read a story in the Wall Street Journal that says Walmart is having trouble making ends meet. Well, you go out and you sell your Walmart stock. That's not really happening. I made that up just for the record, but let's say it is. That's outsider. That is regular trading, you and me trading. Sam Alito is accused of selling stock in Anheuser-Busch's parent company after the backlash against Dylan Mulvaney. The silence is intentional. Yes, Sam Alito, Justice of the United States Supreme Court, is accused of selling AB InBev after the conservative backlash began against Anheuser-Busch over the Dylan Mulvaney ad. This from CNBC. Supreme Court Justice Sam Alito sold shares of beer giant Anheuser-Busch InBev as conservatives were ditching the Bud Light brewer over its partnership with a transgender social media influencer. On the same day that Alito sold Anheuser-Busch, he then bought the same amount of stock in Molson Coors, a company with a history of facing political boycotts of its own. The transactions have bred fresh accusations that Alito is engaging in or aligning with partisan politics, despite a recently adopted code of conduct that directs the justices to refrain from political activity. So now, this is also from CNBC. At the time of Alito's stock sale, Anheuser-Busch was still grappling with a months-long campaign to boycott Bud Light after the company partnered with transgender influencer Dylan Mulvaney in an April 2023 social media campaign. The partnership threw the world's largest beer maker into the center of a broader fight over transgender rights and acceptance in the U.S. and stoked a backlash from both conservatives and supporters of Mulvaney. In May 2023, Modelo replaced Bud Light as the top-selling beer in the U.S. Alito's switch to Coors is noteworthy in light of the company's history of facing boycotts from Mexican Americans, blacks, and the LGBTQ community over workplace practices. So wait a second. So Sam Alito, he's accused of, when Anheuser-Busch's stock started falling, he sold it for another beer company. But oh my gosh, it's the beer company he bought. He happened to buy one that has conservative inclinations. Oh my goodness, clearly this is not serious stuff. Gabe Roth is the executive director of Fix the Court, a left-wing progressive group that CNBC, parent company Comcast, which also runs MSNBC, which inspires mass assassination attempts of conservatives. Gabe Roth, not identified as a progressive activist, but as a executive director of a nonprofit judicial watchdog, says, quote, "This sale, given the timing and much of the upside-down flag, can be construed as a political statement. I believe Supreme Court justices should refrain from making political statements, even oblique ones, or even ones their wife or broker may have made on their property or in their brokerage account, respectively." And then helpfully noted the beer companies have no pending business before the Supreme Court. Why is this a story? This is a story because the left wants to discredit the Supreme Court. Because when the left is unable to control institutions, the left seeks to discredit the institutions. And it is notable that Comcast, a company whose subsidiaries have inspired mass political assassination attempts, thinks that it is newsworthy. Now, there's a larger point here. So Comcast owns CNBC, which is actually a pretty decent news network, but its online offerings are pretty left-wing. It runs MSNBC and it runs NBC. And the New York Times did a story the other day on how, NBC reporters are upset that MSNBC makes it look liberal. The fact that CNBC is doing a hit job on Sam Alito for ditching Anheuser-Busch stock and buying Coors stock, Molson stock, and that somehow that he's buying it because they have no confirmation that, well, progressives don't like it, and the gays don't like it, and the blacks don't like it, and the Mexican Americans don't like it. That must be why he bought it. This is more a damning indictment over the National Press Corps than it is Sam Alito. Jeff Blair over at National Review, remember what's behind the Sam Alito attacks. Dear reader, please allow me to talk to you for a moment about the stupidest nonsense I've ever written about. For I have bad news. Justice Alito stands accused of joining the Bud Light boycott. He sold some stock, apparently, and is therefore likely a black-robed transphobe. Yes, the Bud Light boycott. Remember the ridiculous circus? The purportedly alcoholic beverage marketed under the deceptive name of beer did a bizarre March Madness promotion last year where they featured recently buzzy internet celebrity Dylan Mulvaney on a can. And you all remember well The heavens then instantly parted, and down came pestilence, first of the four horsemen of the apocalypse, as Johnny Cash's voice began to intone, and I heard it were the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, "Come and see," and I saw. A bunch of people got angry online. Anheuser-Busch took a hit to its stock. So somewhere mid-August of 2023, Alito sold some shares of the stock and substituted them with those of a different, less fraught brand. Bigot or day trader, you be the judge. I wouldn't dream of judging myself. I thought it was all ridiculous nonsense. When all is said and done, Bud Light is urine-colored hog swill, and anyway, it's easy enough to avoid. He's not wrong there. Yet Chris Greidner, formerly of BuzzFeed News, now playing his own influential Substack, has judged for himself, and the answer is clearly bigot. As stupid as it sounds, Geidner attempts to tie this all to an August 13th, 2023 Twitter post by the woman behind Libs of TikTok, in which she took one of her many, many shots against Mulvaney. Since Alito sold his stock the next afternoon, well, all the pieces seemed to fit together. To be clear, no violation of judicial ethics is alleged. The allegation is merely that Alito was clearly joining an anti-trans boycott, or whatever the heck this sort of impossibly vague formulation is supposed to mean. The proof of Alito's bigotry is supplied by mere mind reading and supposition, which Geidner also is able to demonstrate little more than that he personally believes Justice Alito's favorite television show isn't RuPaul's Drag Race. What's more notable is how the rest of the media picked up on it and ran with it. It became a story because a left-wing activist said it must become a big story, and left-wing outlets like CNBC's Online Fair decided to run it. Comcast continues to make these choices. Comcast runs a network that has inspired would-be mass political assassins. And Comcast now has an entire division within its online properties at CNBC that harasses Fortune 500 for giving money to Republicans. Comcast CNBC now harasses Sam Alito for making an investment choice as the stock of Anheuser-Busch InBev craters, and he wants to stay in the beer segment. He just happened to pick a problematic one, according to progressives. Comcast has made a choice of this. CNBC and MSNBC make these choices. The left has made their choices in this, and we shouldn't take them seriously. But what we should note is how these sorts of stories, when generated by the left, go viral so easily with the mainstream media. And it's not a coincidence that as these stories have begun to go viral in this capacity, well, people have more and more tuned out the mainstream media. And the ratings have declined. I'm not surprised at all that the ratings are beginning to decline. What I do find very troubling, though, is that CNBC, which is otherwise on its television network, done a pretty good job, has worked very, very hard online to be as progressive as MSNBC and to harass businesses and individuals that dare collaborate with conservative politicians and conservative causes. And at the end of the day, it all comes back to Comcast, and we should remember they've made a choice. Now, I got to tell you, you should make a choice for the Eden Pure Thunderstorm, the three-pack. You can wipe out dirty odors in your house, upstairs, downstairs, in your basement, in your RV, wherever you need it. I keep one in my travel bag because you can hold this thing in the palm of your hand. It's not that big, and it packs a wallop. It also gets rid of dust and pollen and things like that floating in the air. You go to EdenPureDeals.com, and the discount code is Eric3. Eric3, E-R-I-C-K-3, at EdenPureDeals.com. You get three and you save $200. EdenPureDeals.com. The discount code is Eric3. Y'all, listen, they get rid of smoke odors. So do you golfers out there have cigars on the golf course like I do? You get back in your car smells like a cigar. Well, you plug in the Eden Pure with the USB cord of the car, wipes out those odors, or your wife stops complaining. Not that I would know anything about that. Litter box odors, pet odors, wet dog odors, musty odors, frying odors, fishy odors, you name it, it wipes them all out. Really works. You can get three of them for and save $200. EdenPureDeals.com. The discount code is Eric, E-R-I-C-K, Eric3.
Well-connected and well-respected. It's Eric Erickson live every weekday.
You can be live on Eric's show by calling 877-97-ERIC. That's 877-973-7425.
This hour of the program is brought to you by First Liberty Building and Loan. Wherever you are nationwide, if you're buying a building, you're building a building, well, First Liberty can help your business grow. If you need equipment loans, that's something they have been doing more and more with established businesses. If you need equipment loans, they can help you with that. If you need $50,000 or up for an equipment loan or $250,000 for big deals, reach out, First Liberty Building and Loan, firstlibertyga.com, firstlibertyga.com. Tell them I sent you. Just spend some time with them. See if they're a fit for you. See if you're a fit for them. I have a new pet. I have a growing list of pet peeves. Y'all know my hatred of the slow pokes in the left lane. And I have to give great credit to the police officer the other day who pulled over the guy in the Mercedes, the white Mercedes, who was going slow in the left lane until I decided to go around him in the right lane. And the guy in the Mercedes sped up only enough so that I could not get around him and would not otherwise speed up, because there was an 18-wheeler in front of me in the right lane. And so that slowpoke Mercedes was going slow and I could get around him. I didn't realize it was an unmarked policeman in an Explorer behind him trying to get him to move over, and he wouldn't. So as I accelerated to get around the white Mercedes in the left lane, he accelerated to keep me from being able to get past him before the 18-wheeler, and then held himself towards the back of the 18-wheeler, wouldn't go past it. The guy in the Explorer turned on every single blue light he had. It was glorious. Pulled that guy over. He deserved it. And then the guy refused, actually, to come to a complete stop. He pulled over enough so that I get around, and then got back on the interstate and kept going. And all I could see in my rearview mirror was blue lights coming from everywhere as that idiot decided not to stop. Got what he deserved. I have a new pet peeve that I wish to share with you. And I suspect some of you have the same pet peeve. Had to get gas yesterday. I don't want the receipt. I don't want your savings program. I don't want to find out about your card, your credit card. I don't need all of these options asking me all of these things when I get gas. Just, you know, the model is those of you who live in areas where there's a Quick Trip or a Buc-ee's, I can use my Apple Pay. I can touch the little thingy where the NFC chip is for Apple Pay. I can push what I want and I just get going. But some of these, the Circle K's and the local Shell stations and some of the others, good Lord. I don't need my prostate examined while I stand there at the pump. No, I don't need that. No, I do not need a receipt. I don't need to apply for a credit card while I stand there. And please, for the love of God, turn off the Cheddar TV video. I don't care to watch left-wing antics while I'm standing there trying to get my gas. Leave me alone and stop asking questions. Just give me my gas. It's y'all. I mean, I'm not even on the road and got road rage at the gas pump with all the questions they want. Just, what do you want? Regular, extra, supreme from my car or the engine rattles? No, I don't want a receipt. I'm happy to answer that one, although does it really matter? Can I just pump it and make up my mind later? But this, do I want your special program to save 5 cents if I come back to your gas? I'm not coming back to your gas station because you're annoying me with your stupid questions. Just give me my gas. It is becoming this thing, y'all. All right, we got to move on. When we come back, Joe Biden, he has made another massive, embarrassing, actually pretty horrific gaffe. I've got the video for you to see. Wait till you see this.
Oh my gosh, I'm adopting a puppy right now, but I realize what's at home. Oh no, I have nothing. Well, except unconditional love. But yeah, no crate, no pee-pee pads, no dental chews for his little puppy teeth. Before I doubt myself as a new parent, I just get Instacart to deliver everything from PetSmart. Easy, just like raising a puppy is gonna be, right? Get pet essentials from PetSmart with Instacart. Visit instacart.com to get free delivery on your first three orders. Offer valid for a limited time. $10 minimum per order. Additional terms apply.